pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties. With Josh Odyssey.
And Michelle Christine.
Excellent. So,
episode
7. Yes. Lucky number 7.
That's right, I'm wearing a lucky sweater.
I mean, every number is lucky, really, but some people like 7s because it's like a walking stick.
Wait, so why did you say every number is lucky?
Because luck is something I believe that you can push out through perception. But I don't want to get too woo-woo. Yeah, but I think lucky is when you feel lucky.
Yeah, okay.
And you can do that by changing your perception, by like having gratitude, an attitude of gratitude about things. So people say lucky number 7, lucky number 11, whatever, mate. You know, lucky number 178. Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. I'm glad we got to talk about that. Okay, so today's podcast, we're talking about relationships, and we're going to talk about the good and the bad in relationships, and how the good relationships can have bad parts, and the bad relationships could have good parts, and about kind of navigating your way through those muddy waters to really get to the gold of the good ones.
Sounds good.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
I'm a woman of many words, many words.
Well, it's almost like you've had some delicious chalky fingers and now you're sitting back a little bit.
Yeah, the sugar high is coming, but those were delicious.
Okay. Well, I'm not allowed sugar at the moment, so...
Yeah, he's not diabetic.
I'm not allowed chocolate. Sorry. I can have sugar.
Okay. Yeah, he just has a little bit of a sugar addiction. Not sugar again.
Chocolate.
And
chocolate addict, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was a bit of an a-hole by eating some of his birthday chocolate in front of him. But like I said, there's good parts, or he said...
And she bought me a chocolate cake on my birthday.
Yeah, but you have to spoil yourself on your birthday.
Well, okay. Well, thank you. I did appreciate it, but I've worked hard now for like nearly 3 months to not eat chocolate. I'm doing really well. So apart from that cake, which exceptions on birthdays, doesn't count. So we keep it going. Anyway, so talking about the good and bad in relationships. Okay. So we've been getting to know each other just in, this working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got a good working relationship. We work very well. We get on very well. But as in every good relationship, there might be some slight annoyances that pop up. I know that like, I wouldn't be as rude to bring them up. But you're trying to help me, right? That's why you sometimes mention things.
You mean of your rudeness?
Whoa! Look, I think, you know, in the UK, we just like to say it how it is.
I think I say it how it like it is, but you can say it how it is without being rude.
If I'm being rude, I apologise, you know, and that's the key. I think the key to...
Like when I beat little children and then I apologise after too, it makes it all like it didn't happen. Oh, wait, no.
I don't think rudeness is the same as being a child. I think you should work on that. It's terrible.
But I just think that...
It's terrible behaviour. What are you doing?
But apologising doesn't change bad behaviour.
No, but that's what I'm getting to. The point is, my intentions are to make it good. And I ask you for feedback all the time to be a better human being, right? So when someone apologises and they're actively showing you they're trying to get better, which I'm doing, right? You could say it for the podcast, for record.
Yeah, I
good,
think
good, thank you. so good. You think I am?
Yeah, I mean, the jury's still out, you know?
You are so out of order. Right, okay. Jeez, I didn't know this was going to be the case. Okay, so as long as that person that you have a relationship with, whatever context it is, and we've got like business here, we've got work, we've got uni, we've got school, we've got home, we've got clubs, team stuff, and we've got the intimate variety we want to kind of delve into a little bit. Whatever the relationship, though, it's really important that what's important to you in that person is also kind of shared to some degree by that person, at least considered, I think, you know?
And I think with every person, they always said that just try to find a person that, like, weirdness fits with your weirdness, because we're all, different and complicated. And I think that there's no perfect person out there. It's just like people that are compatible with, you know, the snowflakes, you know?
Our beautiful snowflakes. Your beautiful snowflakes. Oh, lovely. That's a Fight Club reference.
Oh.
But it's actually, you are not a beautiful snowflake. It's the other way around. Yeah, okay. So, I don't know, like, your relationships at school with your teachers is usually quite authoritarian. And then it kind of lessens a bit when you go to uni.
Most definitely.
And then it kind of comes back a bit when you're at work, right?
Yeah.
I've heard it's pretty bad sometimes.
Well, it depends. I mean, I've had some really interesting bosses, and it was a bit authoritarian. But then I stood up for myself when I had an authoritarian boss, and then we ended up having a much better relationship after it because I did stick up for myself.
Good.
So I think that that's quite important. It's like I've tried to soften myself up a little bit. I think I was a bit harder of a person a long time ago, yeah. And I was a little bit more. Yeah, I think I've learned that, yeah, honey is better than vinegar. I think we've talked about that a little bit before. So I have it in me to battle it out with people. And I've just realized that sometimes you want to pick your battles. But sometimes if you do battle, it does mean that they respect you more in the end. So it's a bit complicated sometimes in how you treat people.
Well, thank you for sharing, Michelle. That's very, very kind of you. Yeah, I think also I've got home next to these lists.
Mm.
And I kind of wanted it to mention that some people actually grow up at home with quite authoritarian parents. And that's kind of a bit weird. Like, especially when you date someone and you meet their parents and they're like, oh gosh, you know, they're really strict on you, or they're really kind of detached, and you feel a little bit sad. But you know what? That's all they ever grew up with. So they don't know.
No, they don't know. I was very lucky to have my parents because they were both very... Like, my mom was a bit strict sometimes. My dad could be at times. But I think overall, like, I really felt loved and I felt nurtured. And I felt like they always thought highly of me and everything. So I think I got quite lucky in how I was raised. I always felt like I could be myself.
That's key. And I think that's key in being in a good relationship with someone. When you feel you can be yourself, that's the key. And whether it's school or home or even an intimate relationship, any good relationship is born out of empathy. And someone defined as like a psychologist on YouTube, which I think her name is Rini Brown or something. Anyway, she came out and she said, look, empathy is actually appreciating someone else's boundaries, okay? And so you don't actually have to have had the feeling that they felt in that exact place or purpose, or even the same circumstance could occur, and realizing that other person could feel differently, that they could feel much more upset or more uncomfortable or differently to you, that is empathy. And when we express discomfort to others, we get to see whether they're going to be empathetic to us or not, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think the older I've gotten, the more empathy I've had for other people. I've been trying to put myself in other people's shoes. And even, I think we've talked about this in the past too, even if you have a relationship that's maybe gone sour, or, you know, a person's done something to you that makes you feel uncomfortable, if you can just try to put yourself in their shoes and realize maybe the reasons that they did it, it can sometimes soften that anxiety you feel about somebody who's maybe you feel like they've hurt your feelings in some way.
Yeah, and I think, as we've talked about before, communication is key to good relationships. Trust is the fuel that runs the relationship train. And I don't know, like, we might have to start delving in some of the bad relationships. And this is usually what comes up in the matters of the heart.
Mm.
Is you're having a bad relationship, but because you get some benefits from that relationship, you don't want to leave them. And you feel insecure not to. You think it's a judge on you, on yourself. And this kind of brings it back, just before we kind of really delve into that, is it brings it back to the most important relationship before you have any relationship, and that's the one with yourself.
Yeah, I've had a few people in my life recently, and they found themselves in relationships, and I can kind of tell that maybe they're not right now in a place where they love and appreciate themselves for how wonderful they are, and it's kind of enabled them to be with people that might not be treating them or living a lifestyle of which kind of they, I don't deserve is kind of a hard word, but sort of what I mean, where you're willing to put up with a lot that you might not put up with because you don't feel confident in your own skin. And that's tough because I think there's so many people that undervalue themselves.
100%. You know, connected with a lot of people in IRL as well as online. Mm. And it's this constant theme. And I think, you know, I will say that women are too kind sometimes. They're too kind. They're putting up with too much. Not to always badmouth the guys. It can be the other way as well. We don't hear the cases of as often of female to male abuse within a relationship, but that does happen as well. And you know, it's tougher in a way because society says you should be masculine, you should be stronger and bigger. But a true gentleman never raises his hand. So what's he going to do when his loved one is attacking him? You know, so. Lots of crazy stuff happens, but if anyone is kind of really abusing you on any level and you're feeling that, you got to get out. You got to get out. And I think the biggest fear that they have is they fear the losing of the shitty relationship and that they won't find better. They won't find the gold. And the gold's out there. You just got to keep hunting for the gold.
You do. You do. And I can sympathize in some ways when you're in a relationship, and this is what someone said, and I thought it was really like fascinating. They did this thing where it's just like, okay, if you like rate the things in your life from 0 to 10, like how would you rate them? And they said that the most dangerous rating you can give to something in your life is a 7.
Oh.
Yeah. Because if it's anything below that, you're like, oh, you know what? I only like this job about a 5. I only like this person about a 5. You know what? It's very easy to be like, okay, you know, a 5. I don't want a 5 out of 10 in this category. But say you have a job and you're like, I like this job 9 out of 10. That's a pretty good job. You're pretty only one away from perfection. That's great. I want to stay in that job. But a seven is. It's just good enough that you're like, oh, this is like over the halfway point, but it's not an 8 and it's not a 9 and it's not a 10. And it's like dangerous because you can feel comfortable in a 7. You can enjoy being with a 7, but like a 7's never going to be a 10. And those are the things that you kind of just stay in, but they don't quite fulfill you, but you're happy enough and content enough and secure enough that you don't leave whatever that is, whether it's a job or a relationship or a friendship. And yeah, I think the 7's are very dangerous.
Yeah, comfort is the kiss of death for change and improvement. And kind of ironic, this is episode 7. But I think to really get through that test of valuation, and you take the 7 out, I say. So it has to be a 6 or a 5, ideally, you know, lower, if you're going lower. And it has to be higher, 8 or 9. And so if the 7 doesn't exist, just imagine if the 7 doesn't exist and evaluate things, do an audit of the people in your life. Mm-hmm. If that's, you know, this is about relationships, so you should do it around the people. And start getting rid of some of those 5s. And if you can find at least 1 8 to replace your, you know, 4 5s, that's so much more valuable than a handful of 5s. These 5s need to back off.
Yeah, and you start having less and less time as you get older. So I think it's very important when you have relationships to focus on quality over quantity. And when I was back in, you know, high school, I think I'm like, oh my God, I'm friends with a few of those people now, and then university maybe a few more, but you have less and less time as you get older. So I think filling your time with relationships that where you might make each other want to be better people, you make each other want to work and strive for you know, fulfillment, happiness, success. I mean, those are the type of people, because you really become part, when you become a clique of a group of people, you really become quite similar in a way. And you find that with the groups of people that start smoking. And it's usually like everyone in that group that starts to smoke. Or you have groups of people that are really like productive and work in a really creative house, and they just content creators. And then that spurs each other to be more productive. Like there's people you can have, like you really, really do adopt a lot of the habits of the people you spend time with. It's inevitable. So making sure to spend spending that time with people that, you know, are healthy and are productive and that are nurturing and supportive, it really fosters that. And you start to embody it, and you start embodying it more and more and more with each other.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you can feel on the outside, you know, I used to go to meetups. Meetup kind of changed my life. Meetup.com is how I found personal development and a lot of things which I didn't know existed. But also, first, when you go to any group or any event, you're probably not going to find the people that are the eights or the people that you're going to be around. But you just got to keep showing up. And eventually, when you've almost given up any desire now to meet someone like that, boom, like magic, they appear.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of meetups, and I used to host a lot of meetups as well, especially when I first moved to Los Angeles. I did like hiking meetups, I did board game meetups, I did video game meetups. I would go to like meetups of, you know, other peoples that are doing similar things as well. And it helps you not be so lonely when you move to a new place. So yeah, meetup.com was great. I did it all the time.
Fantastic. So Michelle, I think we're going to have to delve deep now into the intimate relationship. It's the one that everyone always talks about. It's the one the most it runs the deepest. It can be the greatest. It can also be the toughest.
It can.
I'm going to have to go a bit deeper now. And I'm going to reference a few things which might be helping to classify different people. And, you know, I know you're not really into boxing people because people don't like that. But it does help, I find. And I'm going to reference this first book. It's called Why Him, Why Her. Okay. It talks about four different types of people. Do you remember them?
Is that ENFP one?
No, that's Myers-Briggs profile. Come on.
Okay, I don't know.
This one talks about if you're more a home-based person, more kind of like very practical, more kind of like 9-to-5, like a kind of like good habit, then you're going to be a builder type. If you the opposite of that is someone who likes to travel, explore, they like adrenaline, they're like adventurer or an explorer type. Then you have influencer. Is that right?
I don't know. You're the one that are looking at me.
I think so. Yeah.
And I haven't read this book.
Oh. Well, I don't know. Yeah. So basically, influencer type is, I think they're more intellectual. They have more intellectual pursuits in a way. They might not be more intellectual in terms of actual IQ, but they like more brain-based activities. And then the last one was something else, which, you know.
It's a debater?
No, that's the Myers-Briggs again.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not good at,
The last one was, negotiator.
Ah.
That person's very good with people. Yeah, they're very good at, like, communicating, having open channels, all this stuff. Anyway, whatever system you use, Myers-Briggs, why him, why her, it's really important that you have similar communication styles, or at least communication styles which fit with one another, so that the way you kind of absorb information, the way you communicate information, kind of works. It doesn't mean you have to have the same one, but that you understand. And then also, lifestyle comes in. So if you're someone who's a homebody, likes to be at home, you know, just 9-to-5, and then chill back with a can, watch the old TV, watch the sports, that's a fine life. That's fine. But if you're with someone that wants to go jumping on a plane around the world, that's going to be a different lifestyle. And I think when you're young, you don't consider these things, or it appears that you have the same lifestyle, because everyone at uni is kind of doing the same thing. They're going out getting drunk, and then they can't do anything, right? Yeah. And they have no money.
Yeah, and that's true. It's very easy to have alignment when you're in university with people.
Right?
Yeah, so very much so.
And everyone's looking to get, like, on with one another. So, you know, that's deceptive.
It is very deceptive.
Because when you really have some more capital behind you and more options, your truth of who you are is going to come through, yeah? And you have to know that your communication styles match up, or at least work, they're compatible, and your lifestyles are compatible. Is that person going to understand? Ideally, you want your person to be around, you know? I found that a lot of people, especially with comedians, you know, they're out on the road, and that person has to at least understand that, has to get that you're going to be coming home. A bit like if you're someone that goes on tour in any regard, you know?
And it's not even just that. I mean, if you're and I always say this, but if you're like, I always think of astronauts because, you know, why not? But well, there was a Canadian astronaut. He was really good. And he would go up in the space station for 6 months at a time sometimes. And he had a wife and he had kids. And you know, it's not necessarily like you're on tour, but sometimes you're just required to be in a different location. Like, say you're a scientist and you're studying, you know, the effects of climate change on, you know, glaciers and things like that. That might require you to do field work. So there's a lot of different jobs that do require travel that have personality types that are quite varied.
Well, yeah, you know, that happens. And opposites attract. But you've got to be practical about things as well for the long term. Because, like you said, you know, as life goes on, you've got less time. That's obvious to everyone. It's a sandglass. It's an hourglass with sand dropping through. So if you're, you know, we read some emails before, you know, just because you've been in a relationship for a number of years and you're already questioning it and you're in your 20s still, that's still young enough. I mean, even if you're in your 30s or 40s, if it's not working, it's not working. Don't waste any more time.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, my parents got divorced after being together for 30 years, and there was no way around the reason that they got divorced.
30 years?
Yeah, 30 years. But
wow.
One of the things is they had kids, and they wanted us to have a stable life growing
it's
up.
It's true.
And I don't think either of them regretted being married for that long. And maybe that's me just trying to convince myself of that. But I think if you do have kids and you're actually quite similar and you maybe aren't in love anymore, but you still love each other, not everyone is looking to be madly in love with their partner their whole lives. Maybe, like, to some people, their priorities of their kids being happy and raising them properly and in a financially stable environment, you know, who am I to say that that was a poor choice on their part?
Yeah, okay, no, that's good. You're talking about other dependables that might affect a relationship in the intimate thing.
Yeah.
And that's a good point, you know. And that's a valid point. I think a lot of people do that. But then there are other people that they've just been lying to themselves for so long. And I don't know. If the kids are young enough, like I was two when my mom and dad split up. And then she found someone when I was three, like nearly three or whatever. And
that was quick.
Well, I think things were on the rocks even before I was born. So, yeah. You know. Again, it's the thing about, oh, we'll try and make it for the baby. A lot of people, some people say, things are going bad. I know, we'll have a baby. Oh, what are you doing? You have an opportunity to go and find a better relationship. Because obviously it's not working. But when you have the baby, now you're definitely going to be in it for at least 18 years to some degree.
Yeah. And I think it's hard too because, like, you're so sleep deprived. Like, I think after having a baby, you're like, it's probably one of the most difficult times in your relationship because you're so tired, sleep deprived, and dependent on each other for so much help. And the baby's crying all the time, and the baby's dependent on you. And I can't imagine, I can't imagine it ever making a bad relationship.
I can barely deal with cats, so, yeah. You know. I'm working. I'm developing.
Well, I'm helping with the cats too, so that makes me happy.
Oh, thank you. It was really good to see you do that. No, seriously, I appreciate it. Thank you, Michelle. We were talking about how different relationships can be, and I think honesty is a key one. And You can't fear losing out. You're not losing out if the relationship's not working out. And I think that's different to a friendship or a work colleague or, you know, a family member. Like, the partner, it's gone intimate, okay, cool. But now if it's not working out, it has to really work out, I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, it has to really work out. And there's so many fish in the sea. Okay, so how many people have got in London now? 8 million, okay? And you're getting some people going, oh, I can't find no one. It's like, all right, have you looked? Right? Because, okay, maybe you need to work a little bit on the appearance. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to be in the gym every day. Don't worry. Just make sure you've got a nice buzz cut or whatever. You know, if you're a guy, and ladies always look great anyway, don't worry. Yeah, there you go. And get out there, because even if there's only half a million potential partners that you can match up with. I mean, 500 would be more than enough. You only need one. get out there, and you know. And I know it's not easy for maybe listeners who are in a remote village, or you know, they're not in a big. But even in a town, there's going to be more than you know. It's not going to be more than one.
And I think I was afraid a bit when I was like, when my relationship was a bit on the rocks, because you're like, oh, because you're used to, you're just used to something. You're used to the routine and changing. It is a bit scary, but I think when the dust all settles, eventually it gets to a point where you're like, oh, I need to enjoy spending time with my partner, doing things that we enjoy together, and trying to have alignment. And when the alignment falls, like, what are you doing? Like, it is. It's like you only have one life, and how much more time are you going to spend with a person that's not right for you? And it actually gave me a sense of calm. Like, I'm not like, oh no, I made a huge mistake. I'm like, oh no, I need to find somebody that fits into my life and I fit into their life. And relationships ending doesn't have to be necessarily a failure. It's just like a different chapter, because that chapter like ended, and that's okay. And there are tons of fish in the sea, and I can tell you that. Like, people will message you. People, like, they will, and like, do you want to get a beer? And you're like, what the heck? Like, I was like, I posted a separation video, and like, people were asking me out in the comments section. And I was like, Jesus, let the paint dry.
Oh dear. It's gone a bit.
Let me know when you're free for a coffee.
Some people rule themselves out from the beginning. So, you know, when we're talking about potential bad relationships. So look out for the signs, people. Look out for the signs.
Oh man.
But I did want to talk about this thing of, and I think it carries through to a lot of intimate relationships, but also it can be, you know, a deep relationship with a friend or family member or best friend. And that is when that person is sharing negativity to such a degree that they might even make you feel bad. And they're kind of almost doing it unconsciously, because they're just trying to, they're used to doing that, trying to fill their ego up. And I've had that with a best friend before, actually more than once. And, you know, I think when you're younger, it's kind of like a self-defense mechanism. I think he was doing that at school because things weren't always as easy. And I thought they were. But we came from different sides of the track, you know. And on the other side of the coin, if I knew that, if I had awareness about that, I could have a bit more patience with him, that he wasn't seeing that him kind of putting me down wasn't the best thing for me, you know. It wasn't the best thing for my self-esteem or for me to feel good. And there's better ways to make yourself feel good, right?
Yeah, and so, and what was the flip side? So obviously that was a negative aspect. And what was the positive aspect of your friendship?
Well, you know, it's just, we just got on well with what we were doing, you know, at the school. So, no, I'm just saying, like, I think to take the positive out of it, the other side of the coin is, I think you were saying that you want to inspire others now. And so I learned that I want to find people that want to inspire people more and want to be, like, positive more. And positivity is an important thing. Like, we kind of joke a bit, but we are not negative people in any way.
No, really not at all. And we might rib each other too. But I think there is a deep undercurrent of like respect and motivation and support and encouragement.
Yes.
Yeah. And even just with doing this podcast, like, we know we're not like the greatest podcasters of all time.
Not yet.
We're not goats, even though goats and Survivor is a bad thing. But anyway, that's a different story. Yeah, because if you're working with people that that fill you with energy and enthusiasm, you're just so much more likely to succeed and keep going. But negativity just spreads negativity, and it can make you less productive, and it can make you question your talents, especially when you're just trying to build your talents.
Yeah.
It takes practice, determination, grit, and grinding. And if you're not having fun with the people that you're working with, or in your relationships too, I mean, because there's struggles that are external that you can't control.
Yeah.
And so what do you do then if not only are, you know, is life throwing some shit at you and shade at you, and then you have a partner that piles it on. Like, the friendships that you have and the relationships you have should be people that are help pulling off that baggage and that weight instead of adding to it. So if you're finding yourself in a relationship where your partner or your friends are piling that stuff on, you have to tell them and you have to let them know and you have to work to fix that. And if it doesn't get fixed, you have to remove the toxic people in your life, because it'll just be dead weight.
Yeah, and I think when I was at uni, I was in a college where it was all really cool kids, and I found that tough because I wasn't always the coolest growing up. I know it's hard to imagine now.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's right. it's changed all that now. I'm a swan, not a duckling anymore. But and I just decided in the second year, I'm just going to go to other colleges and like hang out in the common room, hang out in the pub. I found some great people and some other people and other walks of life. And that was just that's IRL. But if we go back to where all the kids are on their phones, I know there's digital bullying and social media and stuff like that. And you can report that. I do recommend, if anyone younger's listening and you are receiving that, any cyberbullying, just report them, block them. I block trolls instantly. I just move on with my life. I don't think of anything they said. They're just looking to get attention. They're just looking to find a little peace in their life because they're very broken and they're probably in a sad state themselves. So don't worry about them. Just keep reaching out. Go to different forums, look at different hashtags, look at the things that you're into. If certain, video games, if that's your thing, or if you're into sports, look at that thing. Or there's so many people connecting online, and whilst people kind of like to put down how many trolls there are out there, it's surprising the number of people that I found are so positive and uplifting, and occasionally they'll complain about it and I'll be like, I'll be there for them, and vice versa.
I kind of wanted to talk a bit about like how you said that in good relationships there can like be annoying parts too. Like, what would you say would be like one of your more like annoying? Do you remember anything in your past relationships where you're like, well, this relationship was great, but this was like a thing that annoyed us, but that wasn't even maybe that negative?
No, great, great question there, Michelle. I would say no, nothing. No, there's always something. I think there's always some dirt with the oyster, with the opal, with the thing. Okay, for me, and this is like, I learned this recently about how I like to problem solve with like facing the furnace of the fire with the emotions. I don't mind that, but I like to speak out the problem. I like to communicate it, overtly as it's happening. But no, most people don't I'm not saying most, but some people don't like to do that. They like to do the other thing of like, okay, we've got a problem here, let me go away and solve that problem. And I've had it multiple times with multiple relationships, but if I'm not told, if I don't get the memo, that's what they're doing, and we've had a bit of a problem, that kind of feels like an ice wall to me, like in Game of Thrones, the big ice wall
that comes up.
And that's going to be quite isolating. I know Jon Snow was a bit cold out there until he met you, Grit, but...
Yeah, and I think that depending on a person's like past relationships, if they've had people in their lives that create... When conflict is created, that's their way of dealing with it. It can be kind of a default mode because people aren't used to... Especially if you're in a new relationship, you're not used to immediately the communication style of the new person that you're interacting with. So... I think sometimes you have to put yourself in another person's shoes, and then with communication being open again, describe how you feel, and then, hopefully things go better, the next time around. But it's, we're all carrying a bit of baggage and a bit of communication styles based on our previous relationships and experiences with other people. And then you kind of have to learn each other's communication style as you get to know each other.
Yeah, some people like pet names, some people don't.
Yeah.
So you have to learn that.
Yeah, or dirty talk, but that's a little bit more X-rated.
This is a friendly podcast, isn't it?
It is a friendly podcast, I'm just saying. Everyone's got different likes and dislikes. But I think for the most part, I had a very open relationship with my with my parents, and I still do, but there is a few things I will keep from them only for their own sanity.
That's very considerate.
But I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, especially when it comes to your parents. They get so worried. So,
yeah, parents do. That's what they do. But I think there are two superpowers which need to be given more emphasis in relationships, and that is humility and kindness. And they kind of go hand in hand. But again, I think, as much as that friendship was hard for me at school at times, most of it was great. And if I had the humility to say, oh, he's just trying to fill his ego up because he's insecure about a certain area, okay, cool, it's not about me. And it wasn't about me. He didn't even realize when I brought it up that that was an issue. And then kindness, thinking about the other person before yourself. You don't always have to do it. Like, actually, most of the time, you're not going to be able to do it. But when you can, and I think this really brings on to another big learning. Anyone that wants to do this test to find it out, they can do. It's called 5 Love Languages, and it's with the number 5lovelanguages.com. It's by Gary Chapman. And you do a test, and you find out, and I know these pretty well compared to the other thing. Yeah, which was a while since I read it.
You're that's just like, oh, thing. Yeah, it's Builder and, gosh.
Explorer and Adventurer. Anyway.
Negotiator.
So anyway, wait. Influencer. Yeah, okay. So, Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages. Mm-hmm. Do you want to name a couple?
I think I know a few of them. Touch.
Oh, yeah.
Gifts.
Yep.
Time.
Yep. That's quality time for people.
Quality time. Oh, and I think one's like service.
Acts of service, yeah. Like doing something for someone else. Yep.
I don't know what the last one is.
Oh.
It's not coming to my mind.
Oh, okay.
What is it? You said you know it better. Oh my God, he's smiling. I don't know. He's searching, I think, to try to figure it out.
No, I do know them.
Okay.
It's words of affirmation.
Ah, words of affirmation. Okay.
So I don't really rate that one very highly myself, because I've got a theory. It's just a theory. Gary might tell me, I don't know. But I think what you receive a lot of when you grow up, you don't really value as much. So I had lots of positive words, which was good. It's a good thing. But what I received less of was quality time. You know, I didn't see my dad that much. So whenever I had quality time with him, it was amazing. It was like the best. I got to see the best version of him all my life. And then touch, you know, if you're growing up in the UK as a male, young male, you don't want to be touching around, do you? You got to be careful, you got to grow up. And it's something which guys tend to put off. And yet, when they get a relationship, then they get that reward of that intimacy with their loved one. But, you know, giving friends hugs and family members hugs and all that, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I got a lot of touch when I was younger. Good. I mean, that sounds kind of, I mean,
in
a very non-sexual way.
Well, in a very neutral way.
Yeah, very, very loving way for my family, of course. And I think quality time is a great one too, especially when you're a busy person. So if you're a busy person and you're giving someone time, that really shows a lot of love, because like there's a lot of things that are demanding your time. So if you cut out that sliver for a person, it's very important to you. They're very important to you, I would say.
Yes. So what's really important is in the relationship that they receive that from their love partner, right? So if someone has acts of service as their love language, they'll be doing lots of things for you. And I don't, like, my mum has this as hers, right? And because I've always had it, I don't really appreciate it as much myself. So I'm just like, whatever. But if I do something for her, she really appreciates it. And, you know, me doing this, I can turn to her and say, this means I love you. Doing the dishes for you whilst I'm here. Yeah, so I think that's an important distinction, because we do see the world within our own love language a lot, and we have two primary ones, you know, and then the other ones are kind of, you know, whatever, really. They come a bit lower down. The tertiary ones could be all right.
That's also according to, like, I mean, not everyone's going to believe in that test, and not everyone's going to think that only two of them are important. Whereas, like, I feel like I like touch, I like time, I like gifts. I actually also like, I like all of those.
Acts of service, come on, you laughed at first.
I know, I did. But then I thought.
But you appreciate it in the business context.
If I had a techie partner and they built me an app or they showed me how to use OBS or like, I mean, there are some acts of service that would really mean a lot to me because I don't know how to do them and it would save me a lot of time, which would be amazing.
I think it's because you value quality time because it's saving you time. Now you got to the thing. But, really, it's because you value quality time. It's not like if someone was, you know, ironing all your clothes and...
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't really care that much about that stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a guide at the end of the day. But what I found is it's really helped people because what's going on is you're operating from your mode, modus operandi. There's the Latin coming in.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
You're so knowledgeable.
Yeah, well, no, you have to be sometimes. But basically, you're operating by what you know and what you appreciate. And someone else might completely prefer a different flavor of ice cream. An ice cream, even.
Yeah, it's true. You don't always... You show the love you want to receive in a lot of ways, and then... When you have another person who doesn't receive the love language you like to give, it can make things hard because that's kind of your default mode. So if you love touching and hugging and, you know, cuddling and stuff, and then your partner doesn't even like a head rub, you're like, oh, man.
It's tough when you're in an intimate relationship and you don't mind about... And I, you know, I'm British, so I'm not going crazy here, but public displays of affections, PDAs, right? I'm like holding hands and... You know, that's nice when you're in a relationship. But even then, if they're not into it or if they think there's some sort of social aspect to it, they don't want to do it. But they'll hold your hand all you want and behind closed doors.
Yeah, I mean, I think hand-holding is like, is that even really that much PDA? That's like so basic. It's like the most basic thing. I don't know. I would never be afraid to hold someone's hand in public.
I want to hold your hand. No, we're back.
We just had the Beatles. I don't know if you guys could hear. We were playing them on the radio.
Yeah, no. So I think that's what that song was about, you know. And maybe nowadays it's about what your status is on Facebook. It's complicated. Oh, we're not holding hands in public yet, you know. So, you know, different things. Anyway, I just want to bring it up. Could have been important. But I wanted to also mention a little bit aspect about working in a team. Because I can tell you it's night and day. When I've worked in a team and they're just very good at communicating. They're very good at seeing who's good at what. Which seat on the bus they've got to take. If that happens, people know their strengths. They have self-awareness. That's amazing. But it just takes one person or two people who don't have that, and that can mess up the whole chain.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of where I've had like a really positive work environment, where I've had a really negative work environment. I know that my sister, she used to work at a place, it was like a clothing store. And oh my God, she had a woman, and my sister's like one of the easiest people to get along with, and she had a woman that just, I don't know if she was just used to being maybe a manager in a different store, and then had to change positions and now was an employee to a manager and just could not handle the shift in dynamic of being kind of more so told things that needed to be done as opposed to telling other people. And it was such a toxic relationship. My sister was just absolutely shattered working with this person every day. And I said, just stop working there. Just work somewhere else. Like, you know, get out somewhere else.
There's a lot of jobs around, right? Yeah.
I was just in retail, for Christ's sake. I was like, get out. So she did eventually move on, thank goodness. And now she's a director at a museum. And then she again ran into a situation where a person had kind of oversold their abilities in being able to kind of be like a kind of a bookkeeper. and was just, like, even doing things like guessing the tax on items when she was just doing expense reports. And she's like, okay, so is that the tax you're paying? Like, what tax did you pay? And so she just kept making the same mistakes over and over and over again and being careless. And so eventually my sister had to log all of the problems. There was a meeting with HR. The woman ended up getting let go. And, you know, my sister said once she was removed, it was like just freedom. It was like the one bad egg, and then everyone got along, became super cohesive. Like, if there's one nasty person in a group, it can taint the whole experience for everyone.
Yeah, one egg can ruin the bunch. That's a bad metaphor, isn't it?
No, it's usually mixed an metaphor. Apple.
Yeah, mixed metaphor.
One
there.
Bad apple spoils a bunch.
One rotten egg smells bad in the corridor. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the phrase. Yeah,
that's the phrase. Anyway, what I was going to say was, I've seen some interesting insights in the business world, and what was fascinating was this guy is really, he's running a company, he's really into people, and he knows when he has a good person, right? And it's just that they're in the wrong seat. It's not that they're not he looks for kindness and people that have good EQ, so they're good people, they're empathetic, they have kindness, they have humility. And now he knows that because of those traits, they're going to be good. And if they're not functioning, they're not in the right hole, right? So he had this one guy, he literally was going to quit, okay? He's a week from quitting. He's like, he tried to do all of these other roles. And he said, you know what, you seem pretty pretty well put together, you know, with the way you dress and the way you show up. You're always on time. You're really good with that. You're quite punctual. So he looked to his strengths and he said, how about we do a test run, you be my PA? And he was great at it. And guess what? Today, he's still his PA. He's just amazing at it. He likes putting things in boxes and keeping it all straight and fair. And dealing with all the other chaos wasn't his thing. So sometimes it's not the person, it's the seat. But you have to filter for the golden people, right?
Yeah. And being able to, yeah, fit people into your life that maybe can help you in a way that, I think that people love to feel valued and appreciated in relationships. And if you can, and that has to be genuine, you know, like it's really hard to fake. So if you can surround yourself with people that you admire and they admire you, man, that's a recipe for a really successful relationship.
Yeah. And Warren Buffett has said, he's given speeches to Harvard students and he said, look, you obviously got a good idea in this room. Who's the smartest? But I'm going to tell you, you need to pick one. If you have to pick one person in this room to go out and run a company, it should be the one you trust the most. The one you trust the most, that's the one. Not the smartest, not the most capable, not any of that. Trust.
What I like is we've decided to work together and he puts his hand over his pin keypad anytime we're going shopping. And that's what I like the most is because, you know, he's just like, you know, Michelle, I just really don't trust you, but I've decided to just go against popular opinion and work with you anyways. No, I'm just kidding. I think you do trust me, but I think that you're very private about your PIN codes, and fair enough.
It's just a habit. If you want them,
no,
take them.
I don't want them.
But, you know, if you ask for them, that could reflect badly if I told other people about that truth.
Oh, it's just so funny. Because, like, I'm so laissez-faire with my stuff. I was just like, oh, there's my phone. My passcode's this. Just log in. Start recording something, whatever. But it makes me laugh. Because I do know you're not doing it because you don't trust me. You're doing it because you're crazy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Back up the truck. Just a sec, right?
No, not crazy. Just paranoid.
Whoa. No, okay, look. I think the point Michelle's trying to make is, and the one that I think should really come through here, is that people have their different quirks.
Yeah.
And you can't take it personally. So if someone, when you're first getting into a relationship, whatever context that might be, and they all say hullabaloo at something, you know, it's an action. You can't think that they're just saying it to you. They might just do that whenever that action occurs. And they always done that because they grew up with that. And like, oh, don't you say hullabaloo? Like, that's what we do when someone sneezes. Hullabaloo, right? So you can't take it personal, right?
Yeah.
You can't take the way I'm looking after my PIN codes as personal.
No, I don't take it as personal. But I think it's really, it's an endearing quality.
Thank you.
Concerned.
No,
that's I do. I like it.
Thank you. Okay, that's good. You saved it a bit there. I mean, could have been dangerous.
But what's the thing that I do that's like the most thing that you've noticed has been the most like quirky?
I like all your quirky things.
Ah, okay.
The toughest bit is when you haven't looked after your sleep hygiene.
Mm.
And then you come out a zombie, Michelle. And yeah, that is bad. And you're talking about not having the kids keep you up. I mean, when you have kids, they're going to keep you up and then create zombie parents. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, it's like, well, it's probably a good thing I haven't had any so far. Because I feel like I would need, like, help. I think I would need, like, a team, like, a fleet of people to help so that I could sleep. Because, yeah, when I do not sleep, I am a shell of who I am. Like, literally a shell. It's not good. I don't think I'm particularly horrible, but I'm just, I have no, like, no vivaciousness. Like,
yeah,
I'm black and white from being color, you know?
You're 100% right. It's just, it's like a block of stone. Like, it's like, yeah. It's like, where did Michelle go?
Yeah.
It's just the shell of Michelle.
It is the shell of Michelle. So we like tried to be better. We put up like the it was like really, really bright. And like, communication, we're still working on it. Because, you know, I would say things like, oh,
I think
yeah,
you're always working on it. You can always improve.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's kind of a bit hard to sleep because it's really bright in the room. And he'd be like, oh, okay, interesting. So maybe you should go to bed a bit earlier. And I was like, okay, that's one theory. And then like the next day, like, oh man, yeah, it's quite bright in the room. And he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, maybe just go to bed at midnight or something. Maybe you're just actually a day person. I was like, I don't know, like my whole life I've been a night person. And then one day, the next day, I was like, oh yeah, it's really bright in the room. And he's like, oh, maybe it's the room being bright is why you can't sleep in. I was like, bingo, bongo.
Why don't you just say it? Be direct.
I was. I mean, I said it 3 days in a row. But then...
No, but I mean, you didn't ask. You didn't say, do you have anything that could block out the light?
And then we did find them.
I mean, I suggested going to bed early as well.
You did, maybe once or twice, yeah. And so we found some sheets and we put them up and I have been sleeping like a fucking log.
All right, less with the F-bombs. You know, you tell me to be polite.
Yeah, that's true. I did drop one F-bomb and I feel bad about it.
Okay, no, I'm only kidding. You can F-bomb all you want, but...
Well, I don't
want
to do it a lot.
Well, I don't know. Like a sailor sometimes, I can tell you.
You want to be accurate to who you are. Like, okay, it was actually really funny. So I had an Uber driver and I was telling him that I was a comedian. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, do you swear sometimes on stage?
Yeah.
And I was like, a little bit. He's like, oh, why do you swear on stage? I'm like, well, I swear a few times like in real life. Mm. He's like, oh, you shouldn't swear on stage, you know, like it's better to be clean. And I was like, I'm not actively trying to swear. I'm not going up on stage being like F this, F that, C that, S that. Mm. But I'm just myself. So yeah. I'll just drop a F-bomb occasionally. But like, I really don't swear that much in my comedy at all.
No, I was teasing. I think you don't swear really at all. And so when you say it, it's kind of funny.
Mm.
So I just pretend that you're a dirty sailor swearing, but you're not at all really.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because I used to hang around with this person and they dropped the F-bomb a lot. And I was like, I never want to be that person. Yeah. It seems like I'm just like dropping like F-bombs every like third word.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize how much it's noticeable to other people. Like they're harsh words, right?
But this is something that I don't get. Like, and maybe I just grew up with a more tolerant household around language like that. But not that I use it at all. Not that we use it at all. But some people are really affected by it. And the C-bomb, that can shatter people's realities. They can just be so upset. Just that word come out.
Yeah, my mom really didn't like the C word, but then like she didn't realize like I went to like Australia where they like use it as a term of endearment, and I was like, "Yo, mom, it's like Canada, you know, it's not really. There's a lot of places that use it, and it's not the same. So you know, sometimes you have to frame it properly when people get offended, and you have to say, no, I mean it this way, and not that way. And that's another communication thing too within relationships is sometimes people don't know that how they say or do something is negatively affecting you. Yeah. And it's something that you do have to bring up to that person.
So, something that's really crucial to successful businesses, it's like flying a plane, There's over-communication. And this can be explaining what you mean, which could be a bit of an ordeal at times. But if you really want to get to the truth of what you want, you have to be accurate. Because there's so many different words for different things and different sizes and different things. And you have to get some feedback sometimes to know that what you ordered from someone isn't exactly what you wanted. So having a test run in certain circumstances is really important. And being prepared to do that, or having the habit around over-communicating and explaining what you mean, it's not always easy, especially when you're tired, but it is a powerful habit to adopt.
Yeah, and it's good. I did not know at first that the ice wall was something that would exist with you, in the sense of how it would affect you. And then when you learn, when you talk and get to know people better and you realize the type of communication that they don't want from you or that doesn't work, then I think it's mature to try to figure out a way that you can communicate that's better. Like, you can't double down. Like, I used to be with, I've had friends or ex-partners that if you bring up like, oh, like this style of communication really is ineffective for problem solving, and then they just say, well, that's just how I communicate. And that's it. You're like,
take it or leave it.
Yeah, that's, and I just feel like if you want to have a positive relationship with somebody and they're bringing up something to you that's like, I think this would be a more effective way of communicating, and you just go, nah, like that's probably not going to be a relationship that's going to be overly successful.
Yeah, I think, you know, keeping relationships in good repair is something that you have to do for the relationships that are worth it. And it takes a lot of time, energy, and effort. And that's another reason, just to focus on the best ones and looking to get the better relationships that you can get. Because if someone doesn't want to work a relationship, I mean, that's half of the relationship.
Most definitely. And it becomes, you become more and more resentful with time, I think, when it comes to people. Because if one person's always giving it 80 and the other person's giving it 20, and like they're okay with giving it 20, you know, it's fine if you're okay giving 80 and they're okay giving 20. Great. Good for you. Yeah, you found an 80-20. Fantastic. But if it's slowly eats away and eats away and eats away and eats away, like, well, shucks, they're only given 20 anyways. Getting rid of that isn't going to hurt you that much in the long run, because they're barely putting any time or effort with you. You know, I think that, like, relationships are about give and take, you know, and I just don't want to be the type of person that feels like, you know, every single time you hang out with somebody, it's because you're calling them. Every time you reach out to somebody, it's because you're reaching out to them. Anytime something fun's being planned, it's because you're doing it. And that if you didn't reach out to that person, you would never see them. That seems kind of, I don't know.
One-way traffic is not going to work on a two-way street.
No, definitely not. And so, yeah, if you notice that starting to happen with your relationships, there's nothing wrong with being vocal about it. Being like, hey, you know what? I really like hanging out with you and stuff. But, it's when it's your birthday, I'm there. But when it's my birthday, it's like dead air. Or like, you know, I'm always inviting you to movies. I try to make you feel special. I try to do things that you enjoy. I try to reach out. And I feel like, you know, it's a bit of a one-way street. And then if they're just like, hey, you know what, that's just the way it is, then yeah, you know, I think there's definitely so many good friends and partners and people that you can bring to your life that bring you so much joy and effort, and like, look for that if that's something that's important to you.
Yeah, there's too many people in the world to put up with not having better, so
yeah, totally.
Go get yourself connected, get yourself out there, put yourself out there, don't be afraid. It's probably the opposite of how you feel sometimes or what you want to do, but I tell you, it is worth it. And I appreciate the relationships that I have with all the great people that I have now.
And I guess one last thing to note just before we go is, if you do find those people, whether it's in the city you live or where you travel, and you just click and you get along like a house on fire, keep those people in your life. It doesn't happen every day that you meet someone and you just think, I want to know this person for a long time. Stay connected. Keep the relationship going.
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties.
Until next time.
Stay awesome.